Yeah, well, of course, it's always lovely. It's always lovely to celebrate success. And this week, later this week, Māori Television, Whakaata Māori, is celebrating their 20-year anniversary. Actually, I thought it was a little bit longer than that. And I was there the morning they opened because I was living in Auckland at the time. And I went to the dawn ceremony when they opened Whakaata Māori. And it was a grand, it was a lovely affair as well. And you know, any media that's in existence after 20 years, let alone 40 years or 50 years, you've got to celebrate these days because everything has changed. But actually, to just share some thoughts on the 20-year celebration of Whakaata Māori Television, I welcome this Imi Hami. Kia ora, Hami. Nice to talk with you this evening.
You too, Mary Picker. I'm here, kia koe.
Well, Hami, you know, 20 years to be in this area of mahi, not easy. You know, being able to sustain a television channel for 20-odd years. You know, the conditions haven't always been conducive for Whakaata Māori to be successful. So you would, I'm sure, think that they've done okay to still be up and running.
Oh yes, I think that's very true. But having said that, you know. They were their foundation had was a legacy in itself. There were lots of organizations and people and you know that were building up towards establishing a Māori television service amongst right amongst the te reo Māori sector. So really they inherited a legacy to take forward. And I think that you know, in that legacy is the breadth and depth of Maori culture and the authenticity of a unique and independent Maori worldview, he mana motuhake. Because that's why I think that there's a good representation that they've had holding the fort for us over the decades.
So was part of the initiative to support the revitalization of Te Reo Māori?
Yes, absolutely. It was a pinnacle. It was what everybody was building and working towards. Every effort it was seen as the next big step in Māori language revitalization and the ability to get into our people's lounges, to get into their thinking, to promote the language as a first language in the household. That was the anticipation and hope around it. And I mean, whether how well it achieved that, it's only their assessment processes will know. But I think that you know it's a good lens to look at that history through. And maybe think about it as we head into an age of new technology, high-speed technology, the role of an agency like Whakaata Māori in our future technological advances. I noticed that with the Whakaata Māori, the Māori radio stations didn't sort of go with the. And they didn't grow with them. They didn't sort of. They weren't integrated into Whakaata Māori's sort of thinking. Pacific Islands, also, I thought, you know, there's more work to be done. Is what I'm saying, and that work is not just in the broadcasting of real Māori programming, but relationships and identity and that recognizability as a iwi Māori.
Yeah, I would have thought. Look, you've just raised a good point, I think, there, Hami. I would have thought that irirangi, you know, radio, our iwi radio stations and perhaps Whakaata Māori could have been a more integrated, maybe not initially when Whakaata Māori got established, but I thought maybe they could have used their pūtea better. And maybe even, you know, aligned some of their services and supported each other perhaps a little bit more. Because basically, Māori radio, iwi radio, has developed in its own way and developed its own strengths as well, and separate to Whakaata Māori, which really are both channels of and mediums for the revitalization of Te Reo Māori, telling our stories, and you know, giving our worldview. Do you think it there what might have been an opportunity, say even 10 years ago, to start thinking about maybe sort of blending more or aligning more together?
I think there's been plenty of opportunities for that, but it's never really been seriously considered, I don't think. Probably because each radio station is a island in a stream itself, you know, and so there's so many different entities to draw into a common synergized stream. It's hard to know, but it comes down to relationships, I think, and we just didn't get there with that. It's a shame. I think it's a shame because we may have made more progress, especially not so much in the economics, but in the reach, you know, in the reach, getting out to our household.
Well, yes, that's right. And I suppose Whakaata Māori was trying to be everything to, you know, all things to all people. But as a speaker of who grew up with Te Reo, do you feel that really it has helped? Not only, you know, obviously being a medium for Māori to be able to see themselves on the screen and to be reflected, but has it really assisted in the introduction for others who are just learning Te Reo? Has it been really successful in that area, or have we relied on the Kohanga Reo, Kura Māori, and Wānanga? Have we relied more on them rather than perhaps looking also to what Whakaata Māori can do?
Yeah, it's hard to slice your program for your audience, eh?
Yeah.
So something to say, if you slice it for the Māori audience, and you probably slice out the Pākehā audience, and vice versa. So I think that's been really difficult for them. But there's been some people, they've done a bit of work in that, pioneering in that area, and that's the sort of thing that we need to really research and develop and come up with new methodologies for, you know, for language acquisition and usage. Well, usage is the main one. We have to actually want to use it, and it seems that we're not wanting to. So if we don't start wanting to, it's going to be that proverbial, you know, you're going to lose it. So we've been there before. We don't want to go there again.
Yeah, and, well, that's very true. And I've noticed that over the years, it's certainly enhanced our awareness of other Indigenous cultures, because, I mean, I watch quite often the Whakaata Māori, Māori television, and I look, they have other films or films made by, you know, a lot of them are made by overseas countries or film directors, but particularly I watch the Indigenous programs on Indigenous cultures.
And that's a good extension of our own indigeneity here. So that's good, you know, and that's part of our identity and the mana mutuhake of our reo, is true. But there are many ways to support the reo, of course, and that's one of them. So, a pretty good job.
Yeah. And I suspect, as you just alluded to before, Hami, I suspect now that, you know, obviously we've got this, well, certainly the government, let alone the cost of living, but we've certainly got a government that's trying to look at cost savings, and that there's no doubt that they will be looking at, you know, obviously the state broadcaster, which is the state broadcaster and Television New Zealand, and they'll look at Whakaata Māori as well. Anybody that receives state funding, they'll be looking at. And so I suspect that the board and the senior management of Whakaata Māori will also then be looking to see, well, how can they, you know, perhaps, get, you know, if they're going to have to make savings, where might that be? I hope it won't be in our area of news, because that's where we really do see a different perspective. I think you'll agree with me. You know, there are things that we never see on mainstream media that are important to us, and that's our Te Reo areas, you know, our environmental issues. The other impacts of government services and things like that. So I hope that we won't, you know, I'm sure that they are looking, But they'll have to, I suppose, run the ruler over most of their various areas as well.
Well, they will, but yeah, in some areas such as these are not just cost centres. These are agreements that have been negotiated and come to a conclusion. So we can't be going back and renegotiating things. I think they've signalled that they wouldn't be interested in doing that. So, but when it comes down to the ordinary budgeting process, yeah, I think it's true. But some things have been established as a rock, and I think part of Māori is one of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do hope that it will be able to. Well, I mean, with the continuing rise of social media, I mean, that certainly changed the landscape, hasn't it? I mean, how people receive their news. I mean, we used to sit there and wait for the 6 o'clock news, and then maybe if you missed it and didn't get home in time, you'd be waiting at 9:30 to just keep up to date with things. And well, now it's all different. You know, now you can just go go on your mobile phone and you can get an update of the news at any time. So, you know, I guess everything has to be every organization that wants to remain sustainable today and in business has to remain fit for purpose and relevant.
Absolutely. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge for Whakaata Māori, challenge for Tiwi Māori, is to move ahead, looking ahead with the times, and utilize every single tool that we can get our hands on. You know, and I think technology has got the answer for us, I think, because we're storytellers, we're theatrical people. You know, we're perfectly placed to utilize the new technology going forward. And Whakaata Māori should lead us in that advance and draw all the strings together. I think we could, on the basis of evidential results, I think we could be an outstanding success.
Have you heard, and just wanted to ask you about the Provincial Growth Fund, which I thought when, when New Zealand first brought that in, and when they were last in, and they were in government with Labor at the time, and I thought, because here in Rotorua, there's no doubt that we profited by that. When I say profited, we benefited by monies from the Provincial Growth Fund. Have you seen, and the minister, of course, lives up your way, Shane. So have they identified yet any special projects that might be coming your way? The Provincial Growth Fund that might be looking at special projects where you are? Have they identified any yet?
No, I've heard it being discussed though, and but no, I haven't heard of any being approved. And I know that he's talking about a different sort of approach to what it was last time, and a lot more rigorous. And yeah, I thought that's interesting, but as if we're not already rigorous, we're so rigorous, we're erect, croaking.
Well, yeah, I know that they're going to fast track some projects, aren't they? I think they're even calling it the fast track legislation or project legislation. So they're going to sort of fast track some of those projects. And I just didn't know if I haven't heard any of them in our area, and I don't know if they've made them widely known yet, or are they still identifying what some of those might be? Because if you're going to fast track some of these projects, you can bet they'll affect some communities, and I suspect that a lot of them will be of concern to Māori.
That's right. The ones who are most expendable.
Yes. Oh, well, it remains to be seen. But apart from that, I see that they're going to open the Brindirwin Road before Easter, so that we can get people going up north. And that will be good. Yeah. God, I think in the last...
Good.
Yeah, because I heard it said today, Hami, that I think that road has been closed on 8 occasions in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's a very, very prone to slippage. Yeah, it's true.
But
it's the only road we've had. So, but that's good having it open. Everybody can get home for Easter.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Yes. Oh, well, look, Hami, great talking with you, but I just wanted to, talk to you because I do think Whakaata Māori, it started in March 2004, so it's 20 years. And I remember at the time, when we went to the opening, I was with my late husband, and he was born in 1931. So, you know, that's many, many years ago. And he just couldn't believe that he would be able to see things that were important to him growing up, his language being spoken by Maori for a Maori audience. He just was just over the moon and just couldn't believe that he would he would have lived to see that. Isn't that, you know, it's quite sad, amazing, really, when you think of it, but it was a great achievement.
Yes, I was there that morning as well. I was very impressed. I never forget Huirangi, what Kenny Pōuru and his style. To me, that really embodies the whole essence of Whakaata Māori. And that sort of a feeling of cultural strength and fortitude, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. And yes, that's right. And of course, those people, and you've just mentioned, and the many others who pushed for that change, who said we have a right to be able to hear our own language being promoted and being used, and the things that are of interest to Māori to be shown on television. And so you've got to honour and respect their memory for the hard yards that they did to drive Whakaata Māori into existence.
Even Dunmiata.
Aye. Yes, indeed, indeed. Look, Hami, thank you so much for talking with us this evening on Radio Wātea.
Kia ora, Miripika. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, kia ora. And always nice talking to Hami Piribi, and he is, of course, one of our iwi leaders, and from the iwi leaders group from up Te Rārawa. And of course, a mine of information too. And the great thing about Hami is he can go back for the last 40 years. Actually, one day I must talk to him about the public service. That'll be great. I want to talk to him about the public service and the changes, because that is something that both Hami and I have seen over the years. I mean, you know, targeting public servants for change, that's not new. Or for redundancies, you know, the restructure, the disestablishment of positions, that is not new. So I suppose we've got to say, well, we've seen it all before, but we do know that it can cause significant upheaval for people, for their career, and also for their whānau, and actually for their well-being in terms of income, and a drop in income from time to time, and things like that. But good to have a talk with Hami this evening. Lovely to be with you this evening, and I'm going to be back with you next week. Mera pēkiro kawa tēt. For now, mā te wā, kia ora.